If you would turn to Proverbs 12:3, we began this proverb slightly last week, but I want to continue with its study. For this proverb reads this way: a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. We're talking about here today that word established and that word root. There's a connection there between those two words. And the Lord uses this to give some contrast to these two ideas. You know, it used to be a little bit more prominent in the past to be riding down the highway, and while you were riding, you were reading bumper stickers. It's not as prominent today. It's probably because of people are texting. They don't have time to read bumper stickers. But remember this one: I love cats. They taste just like chicken. Be nice to your kids. They'll choose your nursing home. Not many laughs there. That's kind of serious. Men have feelings too, but who cares? This last one: my child was inmate of the month at county jail. That's in a protest of those bumper stickers that always talk about my child is an honor student at such and such a school. But there's one bumper sticker that used to be on many bumpers, and it was the bumper sticker that said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. But I remember well Dr. Hobbs telling someone about that statement, saying that it didn't matter whether you believed what God said or not, for what God said was settled totally without any opinion or verification of yours. So the saying should have been, instead of God said it, I believe it, that settles it, take out that middle part, which is your participation, and say, God said it, that settles it. In other words, if God said it, that which he said is established without any outside participation. You know, Paul was elated to say to the Romans, as recorded in chapter 11, 33 and 34, oh, the depths of the riches. You know, every once in a while when you read Paul's writings, there's almost, he kind of builds up and he just got so excited. You know, he's writing about the Lord, he's writing scripture, and he just comes to a place where he just gets so excited that he has to burst out with things like this, with thoughts like this, where he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? You know, we observe a lot of times the things that God has created, and this is what brings to mind when you see some of these things that God has created. The tiniest of gnats buzzing around your ear or landing on your arm, and the control mechanism within the tiniest living creatures that God has placed there. But who has known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? You know, not one time has God asked of me my opinion. Anyone in here where God tapped you on the shoulder and said, well, what do you think of this? What do you think I should do? Not one time has he asked of me my opinion. Now, in our proverb today, it is clear to see that God determines things. We sang about that in the songs this morning. God determines things. Lord, help me to follow you because you determine things. And that determination includes what brings establishment, what brings root. God is fully in the establishment business, and he needs no help, thank you. He does not need your opinion. He does not need your, I would rather do it my way. He needs no help. When he lays the bricks of his word, those bricks are there to stay, and nothing shall move them. Now, Jesus Christ, when he established his church, you know, this is the church of Jesus Christ here. We are his body at Grace Bible Church. We are a body of believers, and that body is given tasks to do. Are you holding up your end? Are you keeping a steady pull on the rope? But Jesus Christ established his church, and he said this to Peter in Matthew 16, 18, "And I will say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Do you believe that? When he establishes something, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So his church, which is also called his body, to show us its permanence, its perfect establishment. You know, this body of Christ will be wed to Christ, and it will be with Christ forever. God uses the word establish in the scriptures when he says, "I will establish my covenant. I will establish thee and holy people. I will establish my word, my kingdom. I will establish Jerusalem. I will establish thy seed. I will establish equity, judgment, and righteousness." And I say hallelujah to that. I need that establishment of God, and I look forward to it when this earth shall do those things that are done in heaven. Now, when God says this, he is saying that any establishment of his is eternal. You know, everything that is established by man is not eternal. You go to the pyramids, you say, "Oh, look at the pyramids. They're eternal." Well, they don't look like they did when they were built. Every day, establishments of man crumble. But God's establishments are eternal. Now, to establish is to set and fix firmly or unalterably. It means to settle permanently. Now, God's establishments fit this definition. However, what we establish is not so permanent. This word established, as used in this proverb, means that which is straight up, that which is perpendicular. You all know what perpendicular means. Straight up. That which is fixed in the strongest position. You do not put a column in this fashion. A column is always straight up because a column in straight up is its strongest position, has no moment arm. You bring a column over here, it has a moment arm, it has an arm that wants to turn that column. It means that which is established does not lean to the right nor to the left. It means to be upright, to be erect. For anything that is not erect is subject to falling. We old folks know that. As we trip on a little tack or something, on tiny little thing, we don't lift our feet as much as we used to. And we know that. And God, in his love, provides the Bible as his standard to ensure erectness, to ensure establishment, to ensure a fixed position. Now, every builder needs a standard by which to build. Every builder strives to establish, every building code is designed to promote that goal. Now, around here we have hurricanes. Every hurricane brings in new codes. Why? Because this didn't stand up. This so-called establishment didn't establish. So a new code is brought in. Phil, remember when we put those hurricane clips on Adam's house? Now, Adam's house has not been tested. Those hurricane clips are just sitting there. But someday, Adam, you're going to have a hurricane, and those hurricane clips are going to hold on for life. Huh? Oh, yeah, we put all the nails in. He's got more hurricane clips than sense. But the Bible is God's standard. Young people, the Bible is God's standard. You don't know how to stay upright. It's not in you to know that. God gives us his Bible. God gives us his word so that we can stay upright. God in his wisdom teaches us that what we establish in our own flesh will not last. And in doing this, he brings us to desire his eternal establishments. He brings us to dare not trust in the most established man-made frame. Now think about that. That's kind of a little obscure here. But every time you go through that door, you're depending upon that frame. That frame is holding up. Now, that frame isn't, but there's a beam up there. There's a concrete beam above that doorway. See that arch over there? Every time you go out that door, you're depending upon that arch to hold. Now you go over there, I wonder if it's going to hold this time. No, you don't do that. By experience, you know that frame will hold, but someday it won't. Someday that frame will come down. So you dare not trust in the most established man-made frame, but instead you wholly lean on Jesus' name. In other words, only that which is established by God will last. Now, you've all seen this modern transportation device, which is called the Segway. You all know what the Segway is? It's that two-wheel thing. You stand on the Segway and you can go on this two-wheel device. It's a miracle. But it provides an interesting example of something that has within it the ability to establish itself even though it ought to tip over with the slightest push. Now, you would think that something standing on two wheels, and if you just pushed it, it would be topsy-turvy. Topsy-turvy, that's a good one. But it doesn't. You push it, it just comes back. We used to have kids used to have these toys that had a big bottom on it. You'd push it, it always come back. It was a boxing thing. But anyway, this device always comes back. The whole purpose of this self-balancing human transporter is to stay upright. Only two wheels, but somehow it manages to stay upright by itself. Why? Because it is always measuring its perpendicularity. What a lesson that is. Always measuring my perpendicularity. Now, it's been made to mimic your body's ability to stay upright. Did you know there is a system in your body given to you by God that is designed to keep you physically upright, and it's God has made your brain to know when you are out of balance, because fluid in your inner ear shifts. You've got fluid in your inner ear. Every time you walk, that fluid is sloshing around. And if it goes too far, it's, oh, you're going to fall. Put your foot out. And it causes you to regain your balance. And that fluid in your inner ear, as it shifts, it triggers you to put your legs or arms forward and stop the fall. Isn't God marvelous? So walking, just think about walking. Walking is a series composed of the beginning of falling and then regaining your balance. You put your foot out, I'm falling. Then I regain my balance, oh, I'm falling. And then I regain my, so that's all walking is. It's a series of falling and regaining your balance. Now, every time we move our head, that fluid, that level, there's a level in there, communicates to our brain our position, and this is augmented by what we see or feel. Your eyes engage in this process. Your touch engage in this process. So those three things, sight, touch, and the fluid in your brain, causes you to be upright. So God has given us the tools to maintain uprightness in the physical world. You know, you can learn so much spiritual truth if you know what's going on in the physical. There's no difference in so many ways. Now, the Segway transporter does pretty much the same thing, except it has wheels instead of legs, a motor instead of muscles, a collection of microprocessors instead of a brain, and a set of sophisticated tilt sensors instead of an inner ear balancing system. You know, God said there's nothing new under the sun. Oh yeah, but a Segway's new. No, it's just a copy of what you are. Man has looked at what you are. How can I duplicate that in a machine? That happens all the time. So like your brain, the Segway knows when you are leaning forward. To maintain balance, it turns the wheels in whatever direction that is needed so you remain upright. I push it on this way, the wheels go the other way. I pull it this way, the wheels go that way. And it maintains its uprightness. So in this way, you and the device are established. Now, that establishment comes by small adjustments in accordance with a preset standard of uprightness. This reminds me of that saying, keep your accounts short. See, keep your accounts short. Don't have a life that goes like this. In other words, confess your sins all the time. Keep your accounts short, your adjustments short. That's what the Segway does. That's what your body does when you're walking. So the Segway has been programmed to be upright, just as your body is programmed to stay upright as you walk. You know, it's an amazing thing. Now, a little child, 2 years old, starts to walk. He doesn't understand anything about this, does he? But yet he walks. All of this happens without any consciousness on our part. That's an amazing thing, how God has created our body. But you know, the more amazing thing to ponder is how the natural man concludes that all of this happened by chance. Now think of that. You think about how wicked that kind of thinking is. Most of the world thinks that way. That is absolutely wicked thinking. It's, you know, can there be any greater wicked thinking than this, than to deny glory to our God as our Maker? Can there be any more wicked thinking than to not ascribe to God what He says in His Word and what's obvious to anybody with a mind that can think? You know, it's no wonder that God's wrath awaits those whose minds are so filled with this wicked thinking. It's not a wonder. You say, oh, how could God do? I can see how God can do it. So God gives us the ability to stay upright and established in the physical world and does not neglect us in the spiritual world, for God in his wisdom also gives us in full measure that which keeps our spirit upright and established. People, think about the physical realm and draw spiritual lessons from it. Jesus did that all the time in the scriptures, didn't he? He looked at the physical world. I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm the vine. So you start looking, well, how does a vine and a branch work? Well, if I cut the branch off, there's no fruit. So how do you get fruit? You got to be attached to the branch, the vine, don't you? That's a simple lesson that God uses the natural world to teach spiritual things. But God tells us to study his word to show what he approves in order that we will be a workman who is not ashamed. Now, a workman that falls is ashamed. Oh, I'm so, you know, when you fall, it's such an embarrassing thing, isn't it? Now, some of you folks fell this year or last year, or we all fall. But, you know, you do it in a public place, you're so embarrassed, aren't you? Well, I didn't mean to do that. And then you kind of walk away and cower until you can get by yourself. But you're ashamed when you fall. And that's what the Bible talks about. You know, don't be ashamed as a workman of God. Be upright. God's word says to study his word, to show yourself. In other words, keep your accounts short. You know, don't get over here. Don't get way over here where you have to put your leg way out to balance. Short steps. You know you're going to be out of balance in this nature that you have, so keep the steps short. God's word, then, is the level that you and I are to use to maintain uprightness in order to be established. It is like the Segway device, which studies every move it makes in order to maintain uprightness. As that Segway shifts, tiny little movement, it adjusts, doesn't it? Take a lesson from this. This is what God provides through his word. We see this in Proverbs 4, 26 and 27, where he says, ponder the path of his feet. Ponder. You know, pondering is not just sitting there wondering. Pondering means to look and react. Do something about what you see. That's what pondering means. So I look at my feet and I say, well, where am I going? Oh, I'm going in the wrong direction. I got to change. So you go in this direction. That's pondering the path of his feet and let all his ways be established. That's what the Segway does. That's what your body does. You push on the Segway, it ponders the path that it's being pushed. I got to come back so I can maintain uprightness. He is to turn not to his right hand nor to the left. He is to remove his foot from evil. So therefore, as our proverb says, the root of the righteous man shall not be moved. If you do this, the root of the righteous man shall not be moved. But you know, those old workers of iniquity, those who desire establishment by wickedness, the world is filled with people who desire to establish themselves by wickedness. It's pervasive today. They're trying to say, God, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. Watch me. You know? Well, yeah, I'll watch you as you crumble, as you slip on slippery places that you didn't put there. You know? The workers of iniquity, those who desire establishment by wickedness, are not so, for they lean and tilt, they are crooked, they are double-minded, they are unpredictable, for they operate according to the dictates of other men who are also unstable. That's their standard. You know, what is your standard? Other people? Is your standard other people? Young people have a real connection with peer pressure, they say. I remember I was young once, I think. But there was peer pressure to conform to others. You know, but there's no fixed standard in others. There's nothing fixed in others. Paul warned the Corinthians of this foolishness in 2 Corinthians when he said this, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number." He said, "I don't want to be part of this group or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." In other words, somebody says, "Boy, I sure did a good job." And then I say, "I did a better job than you did. I can top your job." Well, who cares if you can top my job? His job. What's his job? The best in the world? No. "For we dare not make of ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." That's what Paul said. You've got the wrong level. You're pushing your body up against the wrong level. That level is crooked. You know, children often proclaim, "Why can't I do that?" Everyone is doing that. Well, that's a lie. Not everybody's doing that. You don't see a 90-year-old person doing that. Well, I mean everybody my age. Well, that's peer pressure. Adults say, "Well, I'm not so bad." What are they saying there? Well, comparing myself among ourselves, I'm not so bad. So in this, they enter the arena where all are measuring themselves against others who are measuring themselves against others who are measuring themselves against others. You know, if you have a crooked level and everybody measures against that crooked level, you know what they are? Crooked. "So this is not wise, but very foolish. For any measure taken in this manner is always subject to change, and that change is governed by a sinful nature." You can count on that as an absolute, always. The level will always change. The culture changes. We're doing things today in our culture that 50 years ago would be thought of as perverted. Perverted. It was perverted. Perverted people do that. Today it's common and accepted. What happened? They measured themselves among themselves. So they get their desires fulfilled by hypocrisy and iniquity, but this always leads to destruction as their portion. The Bible says they have a portion, and that portion is destruction. "Now the workers of iniquity have no eternal strength, for the only way they have to contemplate is their own way or the way of fallible men who follow and promote other fallible men. They are blind and always look for other blind men to lead them." Isn't that foolish to look for a blind man to lead you? If you're blind and you say, "Are there any blind men that can lead me?" That's a foolish thing to contemplate, isn't it? But that's the case of the world. "Now Jesus spoke of them as having no root in themselves in Matthew 13:21. "Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." No root in himself. But it is of the sinful nature to have no root in ourselves. As I said before, it's impossible to be established within ourselves. You can't do it. Your nature will not allow you to be established within yourself. It cannot be. You know, Jude calls those that desire that wicked, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's the place, that's the portion of those who try to establish themselves. You know, a lot of men say, I want to get established. Well, if you want to get established in the Lord, you'll get established. But if you want to start a business, or you want to make money, you want to have all the things that the American dream says, without the Lord, it won't be established. It'll all be lost. Now, in contrast, in our proverb, to the wicked man, the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Now, God brings in this word root. For when we think of the root, we think of that which is established. Now, you grow the tiny plants, perhaps in the greenhouse. You protect them. But when that plant is rooted, you take that plant out, put it in the environment, and let it grow. It's rooted. And we're told here the righteous man has root. The Bible tells us that he is like a tree planted by the rivers of waters with roots that are never neglected and always nourished and fed. You know, you plant a tree by the rivers of waters, it's never neglected with water. Paul spoke of being rooted when he wrote the Ephesians in Ephesians 3:17-19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. See, rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love speaks of Jesus Christ. For in many places of Scripture, Jesus Christ is pictured as the root. See how it all connects. Jesus Christ is pictured as the root. The root of the righteous shall not be moved. Who are they speaking of? They're speaking of Jesus Christ. So it all depends on the root to keep the tree from falling. Jude 1:24 reminds us that he, as the root, is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I'm looking forward to that. Why? Because I'm rooted in Jesus Christ. That's the only difference between me and the wicked, is Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner, just like that person is a sinner, but I have root in Jesus Christ. You know, we both come with that sinful nature, the righteous and the wicked, but the thing that makes the difference, not me, not my personality, not my talents, not anything that I have, except Jesus Christ. He is the root. You know, Isaiah spoke of Christ as a root out of dry ground, that dry ground being Israel. The only way Israel could have life was to have a root out of dry ground. He spoke of him as a root of Jesse, to which the Gentiles would come. Paul spoke of Jesus Christ as the holy root, and the righteous as branches from that root. John saw Jesus Christ, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, as the only one worthy to loose the seven seals. And Jesus told John, I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So the root of the righteous shall not be moved, for it is established upon a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. That rock is also the root. You know, that root can never be pulled. It's always secure. And that's what gives the man establishment, who is established and connected to that root. You know, as a tree loses its leaves, as the branches of the tree may be blown, as it may be twisted by tempest, we've seen how trees are almost destroyed. We've seen some trees that looked like they were destroyed in the hurricane, but the root stayed true. In the same manner, hardships can come to those that are in Christ, but nothing can topple the tree rooted in Christ. Why? That root is planted deep upon the principles of life given by God in His holy word, and His holy word shall not be moved. And when that word is planted in the heart, that man also shall not be moved. The message of this proverb is to check your level. Check your uprightness. And how do you do that? By studying the Word of God, by staying close to Jesus Christ, by checking your level by the Word of God and staying upright, being established only by connection to Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, 6, 7, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. See, don't walk in your own way. Walk ye in Him. Ponder the path of your feet. Is the path of your feet His way or your way? Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's the message of Proverbs 12:3. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day you've given to us. We thank you, Father, for the good rain that you've blessed us with. And we pray, Father, for those areas of the country that need so much the refreshment of the rain. Bless our service to come and help our pastors, Father, to give out the Word of God in a way that we desire to love the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in His name. Amen.